Welcome back to Missing. I am Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
Doing great today, Tim. I'm really excited to listen to this episode because I wasn't on it. And you had texted after you were done, and you said that this was an incredible conversation with an incredible person. So I'm excited to hear it, but I'm also excited to hear how you're doing today.
Thank you. I am doing great today. Excited to bring this episode, this conversation to our airwaves. Yeah, it was just me and Terry. Terry is Devontae Van Morgan's mom, and we had double booked ourselves, so we split up our interviews. So that's why it was just me in this one. And it was a fascinating conversation, Lance, about a guy who seems like a great guy. Devontae Morgan went missing on May 5th, 2020 from Mount Shasta, California. He was born in 1992 in San Francisco, 5'11", 165 pounds. He's an African-American man who was 28 years old when he went missing. His mom speaks glowingly of him, says he's got a lot of friends. His nickname is Vonte, and that's V-O-H-N-T-E. The circumstances of his disappearance is kind of crazy, honestly. He lives in San Francisco, but he went missing hundreds of miles away, and there's some confusing travel involved in the story. And a lot of the conversation is really kind of trying to pin down a timeline as best as I could from Terry and about this case. And it seems confusing. It seems like there could be people lying. It seems like there are definitely people not being fully open about what happened to Devontae.
Well, again, I'm really looking forward to listening to this. And if anybody has any information, the contact would be the Mount Shasta Police Department. That's correct?
Yes.
And the number for them is 530-926-7540. And again, yeah, really looking forward to this.
Yeah, my heart goes out to Terry, who is dealing with Devontae's disappearance and isn't getting much help from the Mount Shasta Police Department as well. So it would be great if they responded to her and didn't accuse her of harassing them, which I find just kind of a tragic element in this case.
Yeah, you were telling me that after you got done that they were telling her to stop harassing them, which is unbelievable. I mean, for sure. Yeah, our hearts go out to her and the frustration she must feel knowing that the organization that should be looking into a very fresh missing person case, 2020, was only a couple of years ago. There's still plenty of information out there. You would hope that there would be more of a relationship that is productive between the two parties. And again, I don't think that she's making that up. I don't think that that's a word she pulled out of the blue and is trying to use against the police department as like a slur. I'm sure she's being very assertive, trying to find her son, and that's understandable.
And we met Terry on TikTok, who messaged us and asked for some coverage. And you can follow Terry on TikTok at Mama T, that's M-A-M-A-T-E-E 415. And she's posted a lot of videos about Devontae's disappearance.
And again, the reason for you being on this interview by yourself is because we did double book ourselves. There have been a lot of missing persons coming to us from family members like mothers and those who are extremely close to the person, and we didn't want to postpone the one that we had been in contact with. So stay tuned for that. That'll be myself and Jennifer Amell. And Tim, if I wanted ad-free episodes of Missing, where would I go? What would I find over there at missing.supportingcast.fm?
Well, that is exactly the place you'd go. You can sign up for $2.99 a month. You can get every episode of Missing ad-free. And for $5 a month, you can get every episode of Missing ad-free, plus our weekly bonus show, Lance, that is very entertaining. I know we brought one of those to the public airways recently, so you can check that out for a sample of what you'd be getting over there weekly at missing.supportingcast.fm.
And we got more things on the way. We're putting together our new version of this subscription service, so thank you for sticking with us on this, and it's going to be outstanding and worth every penny.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Terry, thank you so much for joining us here today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about Devante?
The way you pronounce his name is Devante. A lot of us seem to get lazy and forget how to pronounce his name correctly, but I can hear him saying to me, "Mom, that's not my name. My name is Devante." Okay, so let's get that straight right now.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. He's my oldest child, my best friend. Everybody loves him. The whole neighborhood loves him. He doesn't have any children, but he's really close with his niece and nephew. He's a funny guy, very entertaining. He has an unforgettable laugh, and he's a child of God. He loves the Lord.
And how many siblings does he have?
Devante has two brothers and one sister.
And where did he grow up?
He grew up in San Francisco, California, to Haight-Ashbury.
And has he lived there most of his life?
All his life. Was born and raised in this one house, never left. Devante never left. He was always afraid of leaving his surroundings, you know. And at his age, I was like, oh, you know, when I was your age, you know, I would get out and I would go and see things, you know. And so I always, you know, kind of like try to pressure him to, you know, see a little bit more than San Francisco.
Why was he afraid to leave his surroundings?
Because of missing people. He's always had this feeling that something was going to happen to him. It's like his worst nightmare.
So that was something that he spoke about, his fear of going missing.
Yeah. And he didn't want to go anywhere. Whenever I would literally have to talk him into going anywhere out of town with me. I told him, if just make sure, you know, you go with someone you can trust. With that being said, he was still afraid. He still was afraid to go anywhere. That really concerned me when I got a call from him. And he was in Lake Tahoe.
And so Lake Tahoe's a considerable distance from San Francisco.
Yes. So what had happened was, to my understanding, what he told me when I spoke to him was the girlfriend gave him one too many drinks and she drove off with him.
She drove off with him.
Mm-hmm. And when he woke up.
With him in the car.
Yeah. And when he woke up, he was in Lake Tahoe.
Okay. So Devante and his girlfriend were having some drinks near their home in San Francisco. She gave him more than he's used to. And he woke up in Tahoe?
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me about his girlfriend.
Filipino, to my understanding. Short girl. You know, she seemed... Everything always seemed funny to her. Nothing bothered her. You know, she was just free. Older woman, close to my age, that raised a red flag. You know, we saw little signs of her not being to us all the way there. And we tried to kind of like tell Devante, you know, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe he didn't see it, you know. We've seen several incidents where we could tell that she might have been all the way there upstairs.
Interesting. And what did you try to, in what way did you try to tell Devante?
I tried to sit down and talk to him. We even showed him things that, you know, she did. You know, like my mom was in the middle of trying to sell her house and she draws all these weird pictures on her window. And, you know, it's just weird things she would do. Not a normal adult would do. Maybe a 3-year-old kid, 4-year-old, but not an adult.
What kind of pictures?
Flowers and rainbows, butterflies.
Okay. Was Devante a big drinker? Did he drink often?
Yes. We had a loss in our family, so, and we had a lot of losses. So, you know, it caused him to start drinking a little more than normal.
Okay. So during this period, he was grieving and drinking a little bit more than normal.
Yes.
Did those losses affect the way Devante had been feeling?
Yes.
And his behavior and things like that too, besides drinking?
Yes.
Okay. In which other ways?
Just like sad all the time and, I mean, grieving, you know?
Well, I'm sorry for your losses, yeah.
Thank you.
And Devante also went missing right around the start of the pandemic. Did the lockdown and everything like that came with, did that have some impact on his mental health as well?
I think so. Yes, I definitely think so. I know so.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely remember it being like an especially paranoid time and people kind of needing to just get away in some way, just kind of try to not deal with it.
Right.
As far as the area that Devante was in, Lake Tahoe and the Mount Shasta area, that was not an area that he ever expressed interest in going to or anything like that?
No. No, he never wanted to go anywhere. Yeah, no, he never wanted to go there. I don't know. It's a little hard. I don't know. This interview is a little harder for me because it's been so long and so much has happened in between.
Well, feel free to tell me what happened in between. He's been missing over 2 years. Yeah,
he's been missing over 2 years, and we have gotten very, 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 very little help from law enforcement. In the year 2021, a lot of people came up missing up there in Mount Shasta. Recently, a young man came up missing and they found him. You know, so I just feel like my son's case is just, it never got taken seriously in the first place. They let a lot of evidence go. Everything that I tried to express to them, they never took it seriously. At one point, they told us they only have like eight members of the law enforcement total, and they wouldn't accept outside help. I mean, I don't know where else to go with this. My thing is, like, basically the girlfriend, my focus is on her because she has harassed us. I mean, everybody, friends, family, anybody that probably is Black, you know, from San Francisco, they might not even be related to us. I'm getting messages talking about, you know, she's harassing people. So not only the things that we the evidence that we tried to give them against her, they didn't look into it. They also suspected her from the beginning. And she's just basically, she's running around living her best life, fancy free, while stalking us.
Wow. And she still lives nearby?
I don't know. I can't honestly say where she is. One minute she could be in San Francisco. She's sighted in San Francisco. Another minute she's sighted in San Diego. Sometimes she goes back up to Mount Shasta, you know, weed. And it ain't no telling where she is.
Okay. And was there a specific business that Devante's girlfriend was into or something like that?
I don't know. I can't tell you much about her except for I mean, I know she had, she was a single mom, supposedly, you know, with children of her own.
Did Davante ever meet those children?
Yes.
And you met the girlfriend and a few times?
Mm-hmm. And her two oldest children came up to get her up in Mount Shasta because she had a mental meltdown.
Does she have a history of mental illness?
Yes. Come to find out, she do.
Okay. And how long had she and Davante been seeing each other?
Well, let's see. They met in July of 2019. He came up missing in May. So May of 2020.
Okay. So they spent a lot of time together for those 8 or so
months?
Yeah,
pretty much every day. Every day they were together pretty much.
And did Davante have a lot of other friends?
Yes, Davante has lots of other friends. I mean, we have a whole wide of community that came up looking for him.
Good. And none of his other friends heard from him or knew why he was in that area?
No. Okay, so this was after I talked to him. After I talked to him, after he was in Lake Tahoe, he talked to a friend and he said, told a friend that he was thinking about going somewhere. Thinking about it. And that was the last time any of our loved ones spoke. Wait, I take that back. My middle son talked to him one time after that. So once they got to Mount Shasta, she sends, and I had the video, we could probably still find it somewhere, but she sends my middle son this video of Davante, and he's kind of like out of it, and she thinks it's funny, and she's saying, you know, Davante smoked marijuana, you know, he's 420, happy, I guess, and that's probably one of the things that interested everybody about up north. She sent him a video of Vante kind of out of it, talking about, look at him, you know, look at your brother or whatever. And she was like, up here, the shrooms are so good. And Davante hates shrooms. She said, the shrooms are so good and so mild that you could put them in somebody's blunt and they would never know. And this video, she sent it to my son. My son spoke to Davante after that. And his last words to his brother was this, B-I-T-C-H, did it again. My middle child asked Davante, how did he get up there? And he said, the B did it again. So basically, she drugged him, put shrooms in his blunt, and got him messed up and drove up to Mount Shasta. And he woke up in Mount Shasta.
Wow. Okay, so based on his statement, it sounds like she's definitely done it before too,
right?
Obviously, to get him to that point and then, but were there other experiences, does it sound like?
Yes, she definitely done this before. You know, she said she never been up to Mount Shasta, but there's video of her on the back roads and doing some of everything. Like, she knows the town way too well. She told me that he went up there for a spiritual healing, and when he came down, he was going to be a preacher. So to my understanding, Mount Shasta is a place where a lot of people go to go get closer to God at the top of this mountain, but they never make it up there because of all the riffraff at the bottom of the mountain.
What do you mean by riffraff?
I mean, just some of everything, you know. My belief is if you believe in good and evil, wherever good is, there evil will certainly be, will dwell.
Right. Davante was religious to you as well. This was not something that she had made up or anything.
Yeah, no. Davante was out of my four children, he was always in church on Sunday morning. He's going to be the one that's in church.
Okay. And did he express interest in being a preacher before?
Yes. And she knew that.
Okay. So not completely out of character for him. So when you spoke to him last, was that when he told you that he got drunk or that his girlfriend helped get him drunk and then he woke up there?
I said, what you doing in Mouse? I mean, what are you doing in Lake Tahoe? He was like, oh, mom, you know, and just laughed it off like that.
Okay. And did he have his own phone at that time?
Yes.
He did?
Yes. He called me from his phone, which at some point in time, she went from Lake Tahoe back to the Bay Area to Mount Shasta. My nephew had passed away, so it was a funeral he needed to go to. So during that time, to my understanding, she told us that she threw his phone. They got into an argument and she threw it. So she broke his phone, you know, and knowing that he didn't have a phone, she took him way up into these mountains without a form of communication.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore. And in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program. Okay, so sorry, let me just get the timeline a little bit straight in my head. So they were drinking in San Francisco, woke up in Tahoe. He still had his phone. You spoke with him, and then your nephew passed away back in San Francisco. They drove back that way, and some point during that drive is when she broke his phone?
Sometime during that visit in San Francisco, because in the Bay Area, because the last ping is, I believe, Oakland, California was where he last used it.
And how soon was that before he went missing?
Probably like a day before. Yeah, it had to be the day before, like around the 4th.
Okay, so then they went back to Lake Tahoe, and then his girlfriend sent the video of him to his brother.
They went from San Francisco, from the Bay Area, they drove up to Mount Shasta. And that's when she sent the video from Mount Shasta.
Okay, okay. I think I was getting confused thinking that Mount Shasta and Tahoe were the same, were in the exact same area, but they're so still 100 or so miles between the two.
At least.
Okay. And was his girlfriend religious too?
No.
No, okay.
No, no. Not at all.
But she was encouraging Devante to travel alone up to the top of Mount Shasta?
No, she was with him.
She was with him.
So she claimed, yeah, it wasn't something he was going to do by himself. She always made fun and mocked our religion.
She did.
Yes.
Well, that's why I'm confused why she was encouraging this sort of pilgrimage, if you will, to Mount Shasta.
Thank you. Yes. Nothing she does makes sense.
So, and then she was with him on the hike at Mount Shasta to try to make it to the top of the mountain?
No, they never went hiking.
They never made it. Okay. So then where did he go missing? I know there's some surveillance on the street.
Okay. So this is my thing. They got him on surveillance and some flip-flops, not ready for hiking. To my understanding, they got into a fight. Knowing Devante, he just wanted to get out of there. So they showed him walking one way on surveillance. This the part that hurts me the most. Is I'm not going to say the most, but once they seen him walk past one way, they stopped watching the surveillance. Later on, I find out that they said, oh, well, we decided to watch the rest of the surveillance. And this was months later. He walked back the opposite way 15 minutes later. So I don't know why. So that's another negligence on their part, because I don't understand how you can see somebody go one way and just say, okay, that's it. I'm going to stop watching the tape instead of sitting and watching and waiting for him to go back the other way. And then once he went back the other way, there's no more sighting of him. He just like vanished.
Wow. Was he heading back towards the hotel?
It looks like to me that's what he was trying to find his way back to the hotel. He was just like parallel. I've walked the walk so many times. He was just parallel. He was on the parallel street. But I guess certain parts of that area probably wasn't the safest place for a black man to walk alone. I'm sorry to have to say that.
I guess what do you mean by that?
Let's just say Mount Shasta's percentage of that black population is 1% black.
Okay, so he has an argument with his girlfriend in the hotel room. He goes for a walk down the street. 15 minutes or so goes by. He comes back towards the hotel room. We don't know if he stopped there, but he went back towards that way and he has not been seen since.
Okay. So this, she says, this is what she told us. She said her and Devante got into a fight. They separated. She went and watched the sunset, the sunrise. They passed each other, and the town is not that big. You know, I mean, she passed each other. They locked eyes, and that was the last time she saw him. Would be in front of this hardware store that's probably like 2.5, maybe 3 blocks away from the hotel.
Does that story sound right to you?
No. No, it definitely don't. Nothing she says makes sense.
Right. So she said at sunrise, and I take it it's on the 5th of May.
Mm-hmm.
So on sunrise, they were walking on the street, across the street, I guess, from each other, and they looked at each other but didn't say anything?
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, Devante's got no phone and no vehicle.
No nothing.
And he didn't try to talk to her per her, and she didn't try to talk to him. So says her.
Yeah, so says her.
Well, that part, yeah, that really doesn't make much sense. In your opinion, having been there, where could he have gone?
I don't know. I have not a clue. I know that we had friends up there, well, so-called friends. I know that he went and visited them, and they didn't tell me. When I saw them, they act like it was something new to them that Devante had was in town, which it wasn't, because a neighbor had spotted Devante at their house and the girlfriend at their house. So there's other people involved.
And they're acquaintances of the girlfriend, or they're old family friends or something?
They're acquaintances of ours from the neighborhood.
Back in San Francisco.
Back in San Francisco, yes.
Okay. And so their main affiliation is with you and Devante and not so much the girlfriend.
Right.
And did Devante and the girlfriend visit them when they were up there right around that time?
Yes. Yes. They found Devante's shoes. Devante's shoes was in the house. We had to get the police to go up there because they had his shoes. She was giving away all his property. When we got there, she was giving away everything. And she gave this guy a pair of his shoes. But he was like, I didn't want them. I tried to give them back to him. So when we went to, the guy is supposed to be the acquaintance. When we went to go try to get the shoes back, his wife wouldn't give them back to us.
Wow.
She snatched the shoes back and said, Devante's dead. Now, to my understanding, the guy, we're more closer to the guy. He told me that and his girlfriend had left one night, the night he came up missing, supposedly came up missing. They left that night and didn't come back until the middle of the night. She shut him up. And then after that, anytime we tried to get any information out of them, they play crazy.
So they act like they don't know anything after that?
Mm-hmm. The guy, the acquaintance is from San Francisco. He has a wife. You know, we're not really that close with the wife. We're close with the guy. Actually, me and the wife don't really get along. But for Devante's sake, I tried to, be friends with her. My friend's wife and took a ride the day that Devante came up missing. He don't know where they went, and they went early the evening and came back late at night in the middle of the night. And he was like, I don't know where they went. I don't know what they did, but he went to try to tell us everything. And the wife stopped him, was like, no, and start talking. And then we tried to get any more information out of him. The wife already seemed to be not all the way there. Now he's playing crazy too. So all three of them are playing like they're not in their right minds now.
Do you have any thought on what a potential motivation could be if someone wanted to hurt him?
Yes. They were fighting over another girlfriend. Devante's ex, his high school sweetheart, he always stay in touch with her. And I guess that they had been texting each other. And Jennifer was so upset about that, to the point she called my mom. She called San Francisco yelling and screaming, whatever, ranting and raving. The interesting part about the ex-girlfriend, and they broke up. That was the main reason why they broke up, because he was still texting her. And she broke up with Devante this time. Usually he breaks up with her. But this time she was so fed up that she broke up with him. Now, this girlfriend came up to Mount Shasta to help look for him. And then all of a sudden we thought she's driving behind us. And then she disappears, just disappear out of nowhere. She won't talk to us. She won't. I know she ain't missing. Because people seen her, but she won't talk to us. She done blocked us on every aspect, from the phones to social media. She will not say nothing to us. I don't know what happened. She was following us behind us. And then all of a sudden, she disappears. And she's no longer behind us. Now she has family up in the reservations up there. And she answered one time and said she was visiting family members. And after that, no communication whatsoever, which I find it really weird, because she's going to communicate with my mother no matter what. And her and my daughter were best friends, and she won't even communicate with her.
Do you think it's possible she was threatened in some way?
Yes, did threaten her. I know she did. She told me. Oh, we know that.
What did she say?
She's going to get her and stuff like that.
Because of sort of a love triangle, or because?
Mm-hmm. Definitely a love triangle. And she just hated.
Okay. So they had disputes, and she had threatened her before Devante went missing.
Yes.
Okay.
And to my understanding, She was messaging her when we were up in Mount Shasta.
So do you think it's possible she got a message while she was with you, following you?
That's what I think.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Step into the hidden corridors of the past with Hometown History, where every episode uncovers the untold stories and secrets nestled in the streets and alleys of our own backyards. We bring history to life, revealing the extraordinary and the ordinary, from local legends to forgotten tales that shape the communities we know today. Tune into Hometown History and embark on a journey through time, right from where you are.
In a small town in Colorado, people turn to a family-run funeral home in their deepest moments of loss. Run by a mother and daughter team, the funeral home offered thoughtful services at a fair price. But there was a dark side to their business.
It was truly a house of horrors.
He said she may have dismembered him and sold parts of him.
I'm getting angry all over, a small sweat breaking out.
I'm investigative reporter Ashley Fonts, and this is the story of an unbelievable crime you've never heard of. A story of a funeral home that lured their victims in the front door only to sell their bodies out the back. From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, listen to Cover Up, Body Brokers. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Rex Heuermann is a demon that walks among us, a predator that ruined families.
The LISK, Long Island Serial Killer Podcast, was shocked when the news broke of Rex Heuermann's arrest. After more than a decade of searching, law enforcement officials had finally pieced together enough evidence to bring formal charges against Rex Heuermann. Initially charged with 3 murders, Heuermann is now officially charged with all 4 deaths in the Gilgo 4 case. I'm your host, Chris Moss, and the LISK podcast will be releasing new episodes with interviews and fresh insight on the case as Rex Heuermann awaits trial in Long Island. While we are relieved by the arrest, the LISK podcast team will be working hard to share new developments and perspectives as we get them. So please keep your eyes and ears out for new episodes, and if you haven't already, please listen to seasons 1 and 2 of LISK, Long Island Serial Killer, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program. Yeah, what is next for your search for Devante?
I don't know what to do anymore. I need help. I need help. I need all the help I can get. I don't know. We had a PI that got very expensive. Can't afford that anymore. And then, you know, I sound like we might need a lawyer. You know, I mean, did everything for us, putting up posters and flyers and having everyone sharing. And, you know, I don't know what else to do. One, you know, I kept calling Mount Shasta Police Department. At one point, they really got sick of me. And they told me to stop harassing them.
They told you to stop harassing them?
Yes.
Now, I can't imagine you were calling them harassing them. You're calling them about where your son is.
You know, so at this point, like, I have no communication with them. I think my daughter has spoken to them, but basically they cold casing my son while, you know, the suspects and people that are involved are just living their best life, you know?
Wow. Are there any areas that you can think of to search in that vicinity? And have there been any organized searches?
There has been. They did have search volunteers come out and look in wooded areas and the lakes and stuff. And they haven't found anything. I know that this is impossible, but I would love to search some of these Indian reservations. Who knows? He could be up there hiding, you know? We don't know, you know, maybe he's scared of this one. Maybe he knows Like, I don't know. It was just something weird about the ex-girlfriend coming up there and then going up to the reservation. You know, that's my hope. You know, I wish that we could search them, but I know that they do things a whole lot different than, you know, the rest of the city. They have their own government or whatever up there. I wish that Mount Shasta would accept outside help. That's what I wish. They're a small force. Okay. You guys, if you can't handle it, if you can't handle it, I'm not saying that you can't, but if you can't help handle it, accept the help.
Yeah. And who is offering help?
Well, I know that the state police wanted to help, but they was only able to do so much because I think they said it's a jurisdiction thing.
Yeah, I definitely would imagine the state police have many more resources. Did the police department have any contact with your private investigator?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Was there any helpful information passing back and forth?
No.
And what kind of things was your private investigator? Were they able to interview people?
They interviewed a couple of people, yes.
They had information that they perceived as helpful that they tried to turn over to the Mount Shasta police? No?
No.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say here today on this interview?
Devontae being missing has really affected us all, from the babies to, you know, I can't sleep at night. I need my friend back. I need my baby back. And the rest of the family is having such a hard time. Our community is in disbelief. You know, this really has affected a lot of lives.